Hello, and welcome to Uncle Monster's Spooky Time Fright Hour, your source for the straight poop on all things supernatural. We're your hosts. My name is Chris Anderson, but if you went to high school with me, you could call me Shibble.
And I'm Ethan Zareski, and my girl wants to party all the time, party all the time, party all the time.
I love the part in that music video where they cut to Rick James in the casting booth, in the recording booth, and he's like, yes, yes, oh, yeah. You've got it, Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, no, there's a plot to that video. You know, it's like Eddie trying to make a hit song, and then he finally gets it, and Rick's like, that's it. You know, we have a hit.
Yes, and indeed they did. And we have a hit of a guest this week. You might know him from Tracing Owls, the most knowledgeable cryptozoological podcaster I know. It's Vuk.
Hello, guys. And as Shibble said, I go by Vuk, or sometimes Darwin, from Tracing Owls podcast. I'm the depraved mind who suggested these guys do such wonderful creatures as the butt-poking Popobawa and the one-eyed monster of the Amazon.
As we all know, Darwin is the traditional shortening of Vuk.
Yes, yeah. Yes, exactly.
It's just like how they called John F. Kennedy Jack for short. It's the same
thing. Yeah, same thing.
Ethan, I'm sure that Vuk is very familiar with our premise, but maybe some of our listeners aren't. Why don't you tell these guys about the premise of the show?
Be nice to have a new listener. Well, like all weeks on Uncle Monster's Spooky Time Fright Hour, one of us, Shibble this week, has done extensive research on a ghost, ghoul, goblin, or demon. This week it's the Nuklavi from Scotland. And I, on the other hand, have done absolutely no research, and I'm going to play the audience surrogate, asking the questions your hearts are burning with desire to know as we get to find out what this Nuklavi is together.
Yes, and I chose the Nuklavi because I asked Vuk in advance if he knew about it, and he also was not familiar with the Nuklavi, so I get to have two audience surrogates with me here today.
I'm actually familiar with the name, but I have no idea what this is about.
All right, fantastic. And so with that in mind, neither of you know, but if I had to ask you to imagine what the Nuklavi is, if you were to go into your mind's eye, what do you think when I say the word Nuklavi? Ethan, I'm going to start with you.
I think that the Nuklavi is a cryptid that enjoys watching human men fornicate with their partners.
In Britain, they call that dogging.
Oh, I'm sorry. That would be the Cucklavi. That's a different cryptid. That's a different cryptid. I'm sorry.
Yes, yes.
I apologize. Let me get to my actual, a real guess. That was.
And I'm sorry. Dogging is having sex outside. I misunderstood where you were going with that.
Yeah, no.
Go on.
It's okay. The Nuklavi is the street where all the West Side Story style fights take place in Scotland.
Because they knuckle up.
That was me reading it as Knuckle Ave.
Ah.
Oh, they can't read the spelling. That's a bad joke.
Go back and look at the title of this episode, and that will work better for you.
It will. It's funny. And my third theory, which is actually the true one, is the Nuklavi is a handsome guest star, Bosnian cryptid researcher wearing Tommy Hilfiger overalls who travels to Scotland just to peer in the windows of scantily clad women, but only those who unironically fill out the special talents part of their resumes.
Well, I'm going to say you're very close.
Yes.
What about you, Vuk? Do you have any ideas? What do you think?
Okay, I can only base my ideas on the name, so I have two ideas.
Okay.
The first one is I imagine this as a golem that was created from the molten brass knuckles of street gangsters.
Oh, that sounds tough as hell.
But it was brought to life to guard the ghetto. But at night, people try to steal it and sell it for scraps.
That would be awesome, because that would be like Benny Siegel's brass knuckles or Louis Lepke. Because that would be a Jewish thing, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I like that. Sounds like a really good, like, independent comic character. Like, if you were setting up a super team, he'd be like the second guy in your super team.
So what's your second guess?
And yeah, my second guess is Nucklovy or Nucklover is an erotic shadow entity that visits people during their wet dreams. And you can imagine it as a Freddy Krueger-like thing, but without the claws. Instead, it has a giant Incredible Hulk glove, which is oversized because, you know, it's trying to compensate for something. But due to its size, it can only go, you know, up to the knuckle when it's, yeah.
Yeah, with those big fingers, yeah.
Well, wait, what does it do with its fingers?
Well, use your
A gentleman never
man.
Tells.
Okay, all right. That's horrifying. I hope that's what it is.
Well, I'm about to tell you in a sense. In the sense that I know that Ethan, and I hope, hopefully Vuk, learns best from narrative fiction.
Oh my God, I love narrative fiction. Do you love narrative fiction, Vuk?
Yes, I love it so much that I can't even write it.
But how much do you love it from 1 to 10?
I love it from 1 to... I love it at 10 because that's the main point of your podcast and why I tune in every week.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad to hear it's a highlight. Well, get ready, everybody, because it's fan favorite segment, story time.
It's story time, story time. It's story time with Uncle Monster.
Story time.
It's story time, story time. It's story time with Uncle Monster. Story time.
They say the key to good art is emotion. Your art is food, and your emotion is anger. You are Hamish McMurdo, and you are the fourth best chef alive on the planet Earth right now. While people around the world enjoy their so-called comfort foods, you've been pioneering a style of cuisine that you call discomfort food. Your most famous dish, inspired by the Iraq War, was called spaghetti a la bouche, and was composed of raw pasta covered in tuna blood, served on a 60-kilogram rock. The critics called it challenging, but it made your reputation. You've been working on a new dish, though. Your climate change chili, made from squirrel meat and ghost peppers, served piping hot in a bowl made of ice that customers must hold on their laps, will seem like nothing compared to this new dish. To get the key ingredient, you must return to your home, North Ronaldsay, in the Orkney Islands off of northern Scotland. You need to forage up some seaweed for a dessert you're making about air pollution. You stroll through the streets, the same streets you grew up on, making your way to the beach. Small town folk wave and say, "Hello, Hamish." To them, you're not a knight of the realm or a Nobel Prize winner in chemistry for your advances in molecular gastronomy. You're just a village lad that made good. You hate them all so much. Just as you're about to hit the beach, you run into William McTeague, who you knew from primary school.
"Ah, Hamish, I heard you were back in tune," he says.
William never got out of this town, and you can smell it on him. 40 years of a distinct stink you're hoping to capture for your dessert. It was tradition to burn this seaweed that you're looking for and mix the ashes in the soil to reinvigorate the land, but the seaweed smoke gave off a distinctive, acrid odor. It was this smoke you were hoping to capture under the cloche for your dessert, tentatively entitled Asthma Panna Cotta. "Hello, William. Tell me, are they burning kelp down at the beach today?" you ask, avoiding eye contact.
"Ha! No today, Hamish! Have you no seen the weather?
You know well and good that we can't burn the kelp on a clear day like today because of hum. Are you daft? Have you just been away from the village too long?" William responds with his idiot face. You exchange your final perfunctory pleasantries, before parting ways and continuing on to the beach. You spend the rest of this chilly February afternoon gathering handfuls of seaweed and collecting it in large sacks. By nightfall, you've hung some up to dry over a campfire. Despite your gruff exterior, you're not immune to the charms of a fire by the sea and enjoying a quiet evening. A few strands of the seaweed dry out and you toss them into the fire. Just check to see if the stink is like you remember. It is. It takes you right back to your youth. It is bitter and acrid. Suddenly, the wind shifts. The smoke starts to blow out to sea. In the distance, you hear the rumble of thunder. You button your pea coat as the temperature suddenly drops. The gentle crashing of the surf begins to pick up in volume, and the seawater gets choppy. You tell yourself that it's nothing, just a coincidence. But then, in the distance, you see a glowing red light beneath the water, approaching the shore. It rises above the surface, and you see the creature, more hideous than you had ever imagined. You know this is what William was talking about. A beast so evil he dared not speak its name. You always thought it was a story to scare children away from the beach in winter. But now you know it's real. And it's so grotesque, the moment you see it and are able to perceive its true form, you instantly throw up. In the distance, you might think it was a horse and rider. But upon closer inspection, you see that the rider has no legs, and is, in fact, growing out of the horse's back. They are one creature. The rider has a giant head with a protruding piggish snout, which flops about back and forth, left and right, struggling under its own weight and without purpose, while its arms are long enough that the hands drag against the ground. The horse has one centralized, flaming eye, and a long row of whale-like molars. Most notably, though, is that the beast is entirely without skin. His exposed muscle tissue, dripping with black blood, is all you see. The horse trots towards you, and you wish that you had heeded William's warning. It looks at you, its flaming red eye radiating hate, and you know that the legends are true. Though you dared not speak its name, you know that this is the Knuckle V.
Very nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very nice, Chibi.
Thank you.
What
gross
a creature.
Monster, right?
Well, can you sum it up real quick? It's a horse that has no skin.
And it has a rider growing out of its back. The rider also has no skin.
The rider's skinless with arms that drag on the ground and a floppy head. Is the rider sentient?
It seems like the consciousness is centered on the horse's head.
So the rider makes the rider like a dummy. Like does he do like a Jeff Dunham thing?
Ventriloquism?
Yes.
You call ventriloquism the Jeff Dunham thing?
Yes.
Wow. That is, his brand is powerful.
It is. And I call M&M's, I call chocolate the M&M thing.
Perfect. Yeah. Similarly.
Yeah.
I actually remembered what this creature is.
Oh, so you had heard of it. Okay.
Yes.
Let's start over with a new creature.
I've always been thinking of it as a flayed centaur, or in this case, a flayed centaur with gonorrhea because it has a flaming one-eyed monster.
Yeah.
But since it's flayed, maybe it's circumcised as well. Full body circumcision.
I don't think they do that. That sounds inappropriate.
That sounds like something you'd find in one of your games, Shibble, the flayed centaur.
Yeah. We actually ran into a Knuckle V in our game of D&D once.
Oh.
It killed my wife's pet mouse, Frederick. R.I.P.
Oh
Frederick.
God. That's awful. So you have personal experience with this?
Yes.
So you hate the Knuckle V?
I don't much care for them. But
Since the character of the story is, chef, he should have offered the Knucklevy a knuckle sandwich.
Yes, Shibble, your story's dumb.
It's true. Hindsight's 20/20. So, the Knucklevy, a.k.a. the Devil of the Sea, is a water demon from the Northern Isles in Scotland, said to be pure evil. So evil that people won't even say its name for fear of drawing its attention.
And also because it's hard to pronounce.
And it if you try and say it with like a Scottish cadence, it
Knucklevy.
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 I'd prefer Knucklevy. That you warned us before we said the name 100 times now.
Well, that
would be
that's
funny
all
if we were saying it and meanwhile Vuk was murdered.
So, Ethan, do you have any facts for this week
before
we dive
what
in?
Are you
any
kidding
further?
Me? We have Callum Presents Fun Facts About Scotland.
Callum Presents
Fun Facts About Scotland.
Scotland is home to one of Europe's oldest trees.
Okay.
The Fortingall Yew, found in the Pertonshire village of the same name, is thought to be somewhere between 3 and 9,000 years old.
Woo!
That means it's one of the oldest living things on the continent.
Do you know what kind of tree it is?
A yew.
Okay.
That's why.
Wow, I was really thinking I was going to stump you with that one.
I was going to say, I'm not a tree, man.
It's a book. Golf was invented in Scotland.
Classic.
Yeah, we knew that. During the Middle Ages, which I didn't know. The city of St. Andrews alone has 12 golf courses and only 18,000 residents.
Yeah, and so it was like a shepherd's game, and that's why a golf club looks kind of like a shepherd's crook.
That's correct.
And now it's a rich white man game.
It's true. They got a real diversity problem. Golf is really dying out.
Good.
Which I'm not too sad about.
Yeah, who cares? Number three, the national animal of Scotland. Do you guys know what it is?
The unicorn.
That is correct. It is a unicorn. This comes even as a surprise to many Scots, but it's true. The unicorn has been used on the royal coat of arms since the 12th century.
Mm. Just like Wales has a dragon, they've got the unicorn.
Yeah, but those aren't real... I don't want to say that, but those are cryptids.
In the Middle Ages, there was a whole trade of unicorn horns, but they were actually tusks from narwhals.
Except the real ones.
They got hunted to extinction. That's what your books won't tell you.
Yeah, all seriously. Right.
Back to the Knucklevy.
Yes,
tell us. So, let's really break down this appearance, because there's a lot to take in. And also, we only know what its appearance is on land. All the records that I found say this is what the record it looks like on land. It might look different in the water. No one has ever survived an encounter with a Knucklevy in the water, so we don't know what it looks like.
Yeah, but if it's coming out of salt water and it has no skin, I mean, it's no wonder it's pissed when it when it's
yeah. It's definitely that has got to sting. No wonder it's got such a bad attitude. On land, it looks like a horse and rider. But the rider has no legs, and instead, it is growing out of the horse's back. The rider kind of flops about under the weight of its head, which is said to be about 3 feet in diameter. So, a head larger than a beach ball.
The rider's head?
Yes.
Okay, is the rider alive or dead?
The rider is alive, I think. From the way that I have...
Is he a decoy?
No. It seems to be almost like an appendage or a second brain for the creature that is not doesn't have the same will. It seems to be like a puppet of the horse.
Are you sure it's not camouflage so it can blend in with the other horses and riders?
Well... I would say if it was trying to be camouflaged,
I mean,
the flaming red eye and the lack of skin are going to be the dead giveaways.
Right, but having a rider is going to help.
Tell me a scenario where this would work.
Okay. Hamish, your horse is sick. Aye, it is. There you go.
I'm sorry. I guess I'm not seeing this in my mind, Palace.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it might be more that it has taken on this image to mock humanity.
Oh.
But I've got,
so it's demonic.
I've got some more stuff later on that might tie back where it has a slightly different appearance. It may or may not be the same creature. But anyway, yeah. It, like, I imagine, like, the head has reflects emotions. Like, imagine, like, a parasitic twin. Like, that kind of vibe.
Mm.
Okay. Can you address the Nuklevi or the rider?
I believe you would be addressing, if you were to talk to it, you would be talking to the horse.
Okay.
That's,
can you just show me, cause like I picture the horse being really intimidating. Can you do an imitation of what the horse would sound like? And then what the rider would sound like saying, hello, how are you?
Okay.
Hello, how are you?
Whereas the rider would probably sound more like,
right, like basket case, right?
Yeah, like it. It, I don't think it has intelligence. I don't think that. I think it acts under. Like, I don't think it has its own will, but I don't think the horse has total control over it.
Okay, but did the human part used to be a human?
I think there are a couple ways that this horse could have found itself in this situation.
Maybe it's like from The Fly, you know?
Maybe a horse stepped into a teleporter, yes, with a human.
Yeah. That could happen.
I'm going to say, okay. I'm going to jump ahead, and then let me finish up this description of its appearance.
Okay,
then
please. You know what? We're very eager, Sybil. We apologize. Vuk, I apologize on both of our behalves.
Yeah, the mouth on the head is supposed to be kind of piggish in that it has a little bit of a protruding snout. The horse has one centralized flaming eye. It has no skin. It's described as having a whale mouth, which to me, I took it as just having sort of more teeth in the horse's head. Like, you know, if you ever look at a horse's skull, how their teeth only go like partway back up their jaw. I was imagining the teeth going the whole way.
I thought it had that thing where you can filter out.
Baleen.
Baleen, yeah.
Baleen, right.
I don't think so. Not from the images I've seen. To me, also, that just doesn't sound as cool.
Right, so we'll go, okay, no baleen.
And it also has fins on its legs.
That's stupid.
Yeah, a little bit. But the thing that's related to it, all right? There was an older description of a similar creature called the sea trow that was written by a writer named Joe Ben in a book called Descriptions of Orkney in the 1500s.
What's Orkney?
Orkney is one of the Northern Isles of Scotland.
Oh, okay.
Or the territory that comprises several Northern Isles. It used to be held by Viking raiders. They
by
had
orcs.
Like a colony there. Well, I mean, perhaps one or the other thought of the other ones as orcs. Maybe both. Who can say?
Right.
And the Nuklevi comes from the Orkneyan mythology.
Oh.
But the book Descriptions of Orkney in the 1500s described a horse that was covered in seaweed that was said to have exceptionally large dick and balls and was said to have sex with the women on Orkney.
The female women.
Yeah, the female women.
I meant the human women. But
you've been reading too much J.K. Rowling.
I have. You know, it's that Harry Potter's got me all confused. Don't get me started. No, the human female women?
Yes. Human female ladies are having sex with this horse that is covered in seaweed. And even for a horse, has a large dick and balls.
Is that a prophylactic, the seaweed?
I mean, I would say if only the dick was covered in it, maybe. And also, I don't think it would be particularly effective.
Penis?
Very porous.
How big is the penis?
Okay, well, let's look up average size horse penis.
Okay.
And then we can go from there to large.
Oh, that's right. We can look at the... Okay, that's
so
good.
So
we'll
you guys did not watch Mr. Hand's videos.
No. Why does he talk about horse penis a lot? Wait, wait, Vuk, you guess what the average horse penis is and then see how close you are.
You guess as well, Ethan.
Okay, I am European, so I use the metric system.
Right. Okay. Like, you're like, we should, right?
Okay, and okay, and I've got stats on both flaccid and erect horse penis.
All right, so take a guess.
I guess the erect one is 40 centimeters.
Okay.
Whatever the fuck that is.
Half a meter. So, like, somewhere around a foot and two-thirds?
Yeah.
What's your guess, Ethan?
Mine is 18 inches.
Okay, so the same range.
In the ballpark.
And are you guys saying flaccid or erect?
Erect.
Erect.
You're way off.
No way. Big
You're
or
both
small?
Way off.
We're small or we're big?
You're way small.
No.
You're guessing, okay, when not erect, the penis is roughly 50 centimeters long. When not erect.
What?
When erect, the penis doubles in length.
Wow.
We're talking a meter long penis.
So about 40, 45, 40.
And
so,
of course, the sea trout being larger than an average horse. Also, in terms of testicles, does anybody want to guess the size of horse testicles?
I just want to say, whoever was creating the measurement of a meter was probably using a horse dick as reference.
Yeah, that was the original. That's what they had in that French museum instead of.
They actually weren't called meters; they were called horse dicks.
Yeah.
How tall is Napoleon? Two horse stick. No, a
no,
horse stick and a half.
Close.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, it's possible. There's no mention of a rider here. And also, this beast had skin.
Yeah, but you did say that the horses were riders themselves.
Yes, indeed. The horse was doing its fair share of riding.
If he's covered in seaweed, how do you know he has skin?
Good point. Could be a disguise. Could have been using seaweed to treat whatever caused his skin to no longer be there.
Right. Or that could have taken his skin off.
I'm going to say my theory. This thing was some sort of sex demon, the sea trout, that maybe a hero attempted to stop, failed, and was cursed to become the rider. And now that's
the hero?
How... Yes, the hero that wanted to stop this beast from having sex with all the wives on Orkney. He failed in his quest, and in the course of that was cursed to become the rider of the Nuklevi. And the Nuklevi, now so grotesque that no one will have sex with it, and also does now no longer has its abnormally large dick and balls. No mention of that in any Nuklevi.
No. The rider guy, the hero, cut off the dick and balls and flayed him in the battle, but was unsuccessful in stopping him. Therefore, he was cursed, and the Nuklevi was cursed physically by the battle.
Yeah, they were both cursed to, and now he serves as just an appendage of the Nuklevi, who's now perpetually frustrated and taking it out on the people of the Northern Isles.
Yeah, but isn't the Nuklevi itself a giant one-eyed monster? I mean, what kind of
in a
Freudian
sense,
shit is happening here?
it could be that he is also his own dick.
And
is
I mean,
his head.
The hero is riding the horse, which rides women of the silence, so it's like a human centipede type of thing.
Yeah, there's a daisy chain.
Oh, God, you guys.
Well, anyway, records state specifically that this is what it looks like on land. We're not clear what it looks like in the water. And,
I bet it looks like a mermaid.
It could be beautiful.
I bet it's a mermaid. I bet that's what mermaids look like out of water.
They yeah, their skin sloughs off. And,
yeah. They grow a rider.
So, now... We know what they look like out of salt water. We know they live in salt water. If you are ever being chased by a Nuklevi, in order to escape
freshwater,
you got to cross freshwater, either a stream or a loch, something like that.
Preferably a loch.
Yes.
I wanted to comment for Ethan. In Scotland, there is the legend of the Selkies, which are fairy women who wear a seal skin. And when they come out of the water, they shed the seal skin. Sometimes they marry dudes, and then the dudes take their skin away so they can't escape.
Oh, my God. That's horrific.
Yeah, that's classic men, am I right?
That's how I met Nicole. I just took her seal skin, and she was done.
So, now, they're so averse.
Hey, Nicole, you want your seal skin back? Nothing. Go ahead.
They're so averse to fresh water that they will not even come ashore when it's raining.
Oh.
So rain is a good sign. Don't have to worry about the Nuklevi in the rain.
So is this the alien from Signs?
Yeah, well, I bet the alien from Signs also probably wouldn't like ocean water. I never saw Signs.
Mel Gibson is the alien from Signs.
I've heard it's funny that M. Night Shyamalan's had this sort of reevaluation in the last decade or so, and I'm happy to see it. Good for him.
I like
but
that
I still
movie.
Haven't seen Signs.
I like the movie The Visit, except for the little kid who raps.
You don't like a little kid who raps?
No.
I feel like sometimes I don't even know you.
I like Bobby Ross Avila if I need a kid who raps. Christian rapper.
The other time where you're not going to run into the Nuklevi, other than when it's raining, is the summer. That's because he is held at bay by Mithr o' the Sea, a sea spirit that keeps the seas calm during the summer months.
Is he German?
No, Scottish.
I thought you said Mithr o' the Sea.
No, I said Mithr o' the Sea.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
In the winter, basically, at the equinoxes, she battles with Terran, the spirit of the winter, who controls the seas during the winter. And when they fight, the seas get really choppy, and then that's why that happens. And also, I guess Terran doesn't give a shit if Nuklevi goes around fucking up your life.
Or your wife.
Yeah. Well, I guess, tough to say. Could be. Offensive capabilities that we got with the Nuklevi include long arms, giant man mouth, stopping you with its hooves.
I would say giant man mouth is very offensive.
Sorry, a giant mouth on the human mate, possibly. And I didn't see it. I am assuming that it is a male. It is, at the very least, a torso without breasts. We didn't say anything about breasts.
Well, it had a giant penis, so it had that clue.
Yeah, well, I mean, the horse did, but the rider part.
Oh, anyway. The rider could have breasts.
Well, but they didn't say anything about that, so I'm assuming it doesn't.
So why don't we give it one breast just to be safe?
Just to be safe, one large centralized
one
breast.
Big breast in the middle. on its shoulder.
It also has poisonous breath that will wilt crops, kill small animals, and sicken cattle. This is what killed my wife's mouse, Frederick.
Sorry to hear that.
It can also cause storms and rough seas, things like that. Which is funny because it doesn't like rain, but it can cause storms.
Yeah, but it's under seawater when it causes the storms.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, it has to be submerged when it's doing that, and it's just doing it purely out of spite.
So how is it withering crops if it's helping bring the rain?
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird beast.
Maybe it's saltwater
rain. I'm not sure if you
rain.
Picked up on that from its appearance.
Maybe it's saltwater rain, and it won't help the crops.
Well, here's another thing that it does that is crop-related about it.
Oh. Weed?
Well, no. So one time to watch out for the Nuklevi is when you're burning your seaweed. That part from the story is true. Farmers.
Why do you burn seaweed?
Farmers would collect seaweed
Maybe
and then
smoking
burn
seaweed.
It. They collect the ash to mix with their soil, and it corrects the pH balance of the soil. The soil there is naturally acidic,
that
and
makes
it
sense.
Makes it more alkali.
Gotcha.
But it does create a horrible-smelling smoke that is said to enrage the Nuklevi.
So he's sensitive. He's nasally sensitive.
Yeah, yeah. It's just one of those things. He's got a sensory issue.
An olfactory issue.
Yeah. Flies him into a blind rage.
You know, Nicole has misophonia, which means, I think she, it's a real thing, but I don't think she really has it. But it means that sometimes.
Get her ass.
When I like pick my nails and stuff, the sound of it makes her fly into a rage. And she says it's just a disease. It's not that she's mad at me.
Fair enough. Who am I to deny her lived experience?
It's very fair of you.
So maybe this thing is underwater because of sensory deprivation.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it needs to just avoid any smells, but somehow just the horrible stink of this burning seaweed.
I think it has something to do with its lack of skin, why it's in the water.
If I didn't have skin, would I want to be in the water?
No, but there's something magical about this creature. So I think there's something about the salt water that heals it.
I think it is able to take on a different form in the water. I think.
Agreed.
Yeah, it is. It must have something less painful when it's in the water.
Is mermaid on the table?
I mean, it seems like a random choice, mermaid.
So why doesn't it try to have sex with the mermaids? Why does it need to go on land and stalk
it
the
women?
It
is a mermaid.
Yeah, mermaids. So mermaids, you're saying mermaids can't have sex with other mermaids?
No. Why? That's boring.
I don't know. I have sex with other people, and I like that.
I like to get creative. Call me crazy.
All right, I'll tell Hendrix
to
watch out.
Okay, so I mentioned Mr. Hands earlier. Do you guys know what I'm referring to?
No, we both ignored that.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that's a YouTube video.
Okay, so Kenneth Pinion was a guy in 2005.
Is that your dirty neighbor, Mr. Hands?
you'll hear. In 2005, this guy, Kenneth Pinion in Washington State, died while being fucked by a horse.
And
filming it. So, you know, Mr. Hands is the name he used.
Documentary.
To post. Yeah, yeah. There was a documentary zoo on it. And I'm thinking maybe this thing was Mr. Hands trying to fuck a horse and getting, you know, merged with it for all eternity.
Oh, okay. That's true. Maybe you heard about this horse's giant dick and balls.
And I like how they make the balls. Like, I like how the balls are big in lore too. It's not just the big.
Oh yeah, no, that's a big part of it. This also reminds me of a story my buddy Hal told me. I think I might have told it on the podcast before, but I might tell it again right now. Which is that when he was in high school, there was a guy in the next town who people they found out he was fucking his horses.
Oh, you never told this.
And like dudes in his high school class were like, hell yeah, that guy fucking rules. He's at their fucking horses. And then there was a new article in the newspaper about it because he got arrested. And
for what?
And it came out that they read that the horses that he was fucking were all male. Mm-hmm. And they're like, ew, that's gross.
You're gay. Then they jumped ship at that, Shibble? That was it?
Yeah, that was too much for them.
That was enough.
Like, when Mr. Hands died, there was this whole...
Back to Mr. Hands.
Yeah.
No, there, I'm sure there's a lot
of
lore.
There was a whole scandal, so the police arrested a whole ring of horse fuckers, and most of them were fucking male horses, or rather being fucked by them. The one who killed Mr. Hands was named Big Dick.
Oh,
I mean, when you need a big dick horse, that come on. I mean, I guess he died doing what he loved. God bless.
He did. I mean, that's probably how he wanted to die.
So the first island to ever burn this seaweed in order to mix it with the soil, it so angered the Nuklevi that he ended up unleashing a horse disease called Mortachine.
Death of what?
I'm going to guess horses.
Okay.
Now, most modern conceptions of the Nuklevi that we know them trace back to the writings of a British folklorist called Walter Trail Denison, who he interviewed an islander named Thomas. And Thomas's description is largely considered canon for what we think of the Nuklevi today. And you can find the complete transcription on of that online. I am not going to read it because it's kind of long and it's pretty much, I was walking on a beach and I saw a Nuklevi and it looked like this and I ran away. But it's great.
Well, you just did basically read it, so.
Yeah, yeah, imagine that, but it's written with some colorful Scottish language and goes on for about 7 paragraphs.
Oh, God.
So, that comes to sort of the end of my Nuklevi research. Ethan, do you have any more? What, Seamus. Callum presents. Callum presents.
Fun things about Scotland.
There are over 900 islands in Scotland, according to the Scottish government. How many are inhabited? Just 118.
All right. So we could go take an island and declare it a sovereign nation.
That was the implicit suggestion.
No.
Braveheart was actually the nickname of Robert the Bruce and not William Wallace.
Mm.
Despite this, Mel Gibson used the name for Wallace in his blockbuster.
Well, I guess nobody ever called either of them Braveheart in the course of the film, right? Like, no one ever said, like, William Wallace, you're a true Braveheart.
Yeah, but they named the film Braveheart, which was, like, another guy, like, right next to him in lore. You know, that was his actual nickname, so, I mean...
It's a really good name, though.
Like, yeah, I can't blame him. It's not his.
I can't blame him.
Scotland has the highest proportion of redheads in the world. 13% of the population has red hair.
Very rare trait.
Although 25% of my nuclear family has red hair.
Oh, yeah, your mom does, right?
That's right. Also, imports of haggis to the U.S. have been banned since the 1970s.
Well, Oregon meat doesn't always travel well. You want to be careful with your organ meat.
Do a PSA about organ meat.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you at home are buying, selling, or preparing animal organs for human consumption, all we ask is that you follow the recommended FDA guidelines to keep yourself, your family, and your community safe.
Very good.
Thank you.
As a European, I find that very offensive.
I'm sorry. Follow European Union regulations. Is Bosnia part of the European Union?
No.
No.
Or your local follow health I don't know. Don't eat or do whatever you want.
Bosnian science.
Do whatever you want. Fine.
Okay, so we eat organs all the time. And once I was watching Fear Factor, and you know, always the second challenge is something like eating something gross or bugs or something. And they did some kind of roulette where based on the number they get, they'd eat a kidney, a liver, a brain or whatnot of a pig. And I'm like, what's scary here? These are all delicacies we can eat in restaurants where I live.
Yeah, those.
It was like number 1 through 10 at his local McDonald's. Yeah.
I've had some organ meat dishes that I've cared for. I don't care much for tripe. I find its texture to be off-putting.
Oh, do you like chitlins?
I do.
I don't.
I do, actually.
Let's see. I've had chicken livers, fried chicken livers. They're not bad.
I've never tried that.
Yeah, they're a bit bitter.
Yeah, but... Yeah, it's true. In America, we definitely have a much larger taboo around organ meats than other countries.
The most weirdest thing I ate was a goat's testicle.
Okay.
Was it prepared or still attached?
So we basically skewered a goat on a stick and rolled it around the fire.
Oh, okay.
That's great. I know. Marshmallows.
Yes.
Weirdest thing I ever ate was a bull penis.
I had a cane made out of a bull penis. You ate one?
I ate one. It was not good.
I'm not surprised.
They didn't season it very well.
I think they don't make good cans either. In America, have bull testicles called Rocky Mountain oysters.
Yes.
I've never tried that.
Yeah, I've seen some places around here. Like, I've seen it served, but I've never gotten around to it.
Hey, you guys want a special segment?
Okay.
It's called Five Things Never to Say to a Scotsman.
All right, hit me up with Five Things to Never Say to a Scotsman.
Hey, Scotsman.
Hey, Scotsman.
No, I'm talking to you, Scotsman.
Oh, I thought, okay, I thought that was one of the five things.
No, I'm talking, Scotsman.
Hello?
So Scotland is a part of England, right?
No!
The Scots are fiercely proud of their country, heritage, and identity. While Scotland is indeed part of the UK, you really shouldn't get the two confused. Number two. Ach, I the new.
What?
Ach, I the new.
I don't know what you're saying.
I don't either. I'm reading the. This is one of the Scottish phrases that can be heard in countless parodies aimed at poking fun at the Scots dialect and accent. Its direct English translation is, oh yes, just now. And while some Scots may chuckle along with you, it is considered quite offensive by others. Oh, great.
Okay.
Number three.
So don't do that.
No thanks. I'm not a fan of Urn Brew. That's an orange carbonated soft drink, which they love.
Okay.
But at least you said thanks.
Yes. Number four. I'm Scottish too. My great-great-grandmother was Scottish.
Nope.
No, that really annoys them. And it would annoy me too. Number five. Braveheart is my favorite movie of all time. That's obnoxious. Don't do that.
All of this sounds crazy to me. These five things, to say any one of those five, you would have to be crazy. Just like the Knuckle V. So crazy. But can it love?
A werewolf ain't my dad, but it's not so bad. It might sound crazy, but can it love? Can it give me a kiss? Can it hold my hand? Would it say I love you? Does it understand? Does it know that I've never felt this way before? There's a full moon tonight. It's so romantic, and this might sound crazy, but can it love? Can it love?
Can it love? Shibble, what do you think? Can it love?
No! I think it is a being of pure evil, and I think you must have goodness in you in order to be capable of love.
Book, do you think the Knuckle V can love?
I think Mr. Hands would disagree with Shibble.
Well, we didn't answer. You're jumping ahead to the next segment. What about you, Ethan? Do you think it can love?
No, I don't think this thing. Anything without skin cannot love. You are so angry if you have no skin.
Like, I would hate
that. That's all you're thinking of. So, like, would you think about?
Are circumcised guys capable of love?
Yeah, I consider them unflayed. Yes.
They've got tons of skin.
Yeah, I'm circumcised and I don't consider myself skinless.
Yes, I am circumcised and look at me. You see my face, you see all this beautiful skin.
Yeah, we've got a lot of skin. I mean, we're mostly skin.
So, what's your dream date with the Knuckle V? This skinless ball of hate that breathes out decay and pestilence everywhere it goes.
I'm going to take it to one of my ex's houses.
Okay.
Just because I want them to experience like how much fun the Knuckle V is, you know?
What about you, Vuk?
I'm thinking I'm pretty disturbed by what Ethan said.
Fair enough. For my dream date. All right, no fresh water.
Right.
You know what? We're going to have to go hang out at the Knuckle V's place. I'm going to say we have to go down to the beach. Maybe I can get this thing in the water, get in some sort of form that has skin. See if that puts it in a better mood. So yeah, beach date.
Do you think it has? Do you think it has a better personality when it when it's in the water?
I think so. I think so. I hope so. It certainly couldn't be much worse. It's worth a shot. It clearly hates being on land.
My theory is really that when it's in the ocean, it's a mermaid. That is at my actual guess now.
Okay.
I'm thinking of bringing it to a date, you know, during rainfall, but you need to lube it up with oil.
It's, yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go. Cover it with Vaseline. Perfect. Yeah.
I'd like to see you rub a skinless demon with Vaseline.
Yeah, that's a that does seem a little bit intimate to for the beginning of the date. That seems like the third date.
I've never rubbed a human woman with Vaseline on a first date.
Speaking of third dates, can it fuck?
That sounds crazy, but can it fuck?
Yeah, of course. Isn't that its MO?
If we're taking my sea trout theory to heart.
I take all your theories to heart, so all I'm going to say is this thing used to be a sex demon, so it
but it used to be, and when it merged with the hero, it can no longer fuck. That's why it's all salty and angry all the time.
Yeah, but can it fuck is past, present, you know, I mean, like, it has done some...
Well, it's not called could it fuck.
Oh, can it fuck now?
Yes.
I still think it could find a way with something.
I think it turned into an incel by transforming into a Nakhlavi.
Oh, and that's where its anger comes from. I love that book.
Yeah.
It's an incel.
I think that's a very valid theory.
That's a valid theory.
I'm going to say it can no longer fuck.
I like that.
All right, so we know it can't love. We know it can't fuck. Can it fight? It's fight night!
Ding, ding, ding. Fight. Okay, in our first matchup, we have the dreaded Nakhlavi versus how many? Prime Shaquille O'Neal's.
All right, I'm putting the size and weight, which I always consider.
Wait, hold on. Book, do you know who Shaquille O'Neal is?
Dude.
No, no, no. I mean, exact, not who he is, like, who is he? I mean, you know exactly how big he is?
Yes, yes.
How tall is he?
As tall as the former balls of the Nakhlavi.
He's 7'1", 350. We're talking about prime Shaq. 7'1", 340. Very quick, very agile, and we're ready to fight. How many of them, Shibs?
All right. Just for the tail of the tape, estimates put the Nakhlavi's height at 9 feet.
Ooh.
Weight, 2,000 pounds.
Ooh.
That's going to give it a wingspan of, I'm going to say, with those arms being to reach all the way to the ground from horseback, I'm going to say at least 16 feet wingspan. I'm going to say you're going to need, and it's also got the horrible breath that will at least slow Shaq down.
Also,
not enough
is the Nakhlavi lubed up or not?
Well, it is dripping with its own black blood.
Yes.
So it's going to be very tough to grapple. So I'm going to say 3 to 4.
Book, how many Shaqs?
Just one, because I was thinking earlier the best way to defeat an Nakhlavi is just to spit on it.
I think that if I had no skin, it would be really easy to defeat me in battle.
Well, keep in mind, you are not an ancient demon that has been without skin for hundreds of years.
That you know of.
Once again, I'm looking at you and I'm seeing your skin.
Oh, yeah, I forgot it was a visual medium. Okay, you got me. Not an ancient demon.
So, all right.
So, 3 but or 4 do you have a number and 1. Okay. Fight 2, we have the Nakhlavi versus Flavor... The Nakhlavi versus Flavor... that doesn't work. The Nakhlavi versus the Knuckles on Me and you and Vuk in a cage match.
So the three of us, just our knuckles are in the cage?
We're only allowed to punch it.
Okay, okay.
The three of us only punching a horse.
Yeah, no. Nah, I don't think the three of us could box even a mundane. I'm going to say even if I ripped the skin off of a horse, just a normal horse right now, and then we tried to punch it, I think we'd still get stomped to death before it ran out of gas.
Book, so, would we... Well, go ahead, Ships. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, I'm gonna put this one on the knuckle of it.
Book, would we win punching a skinless horse?
But if we are beating a dead horse, we already won.
Very good. Very well Fair done. Enough. And that'll take us to number four. We have the Knucklevy versus the Snorks, but the Snorks have developed a taste for flesh.
All right, they do both live in the sea. The Snorks, as I recall, fairly small.
Very small.
Were they Smurf-sized or were they just similar?
I would say about Smurfs, yeah.
All right, so about three apples high. And there's about 10 Snorks.
We measure in horse sticks, by the way.
Okay, so about the two horse dicks width tall. I'm going to put this one on the Knucklevy. I think the size advantage is just too great.
Vuk?
I think the Knucklevy will drink their brains through the straws in their heads.
Well done. We've got the Knucklevy versus He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Have you just been watching a lot of 80s cartoons this week?
That was only the second one.
I know.
All right, we'll skip it. We've got the
I'm going to put on He-Man. He's very strong. He has the power.
And he has a lot of skin.
It's true.
We've got the Knucklevy versus Donald Trump's reanimated zombie dead mother, but points can only be scored by sexual assault.
Jesus Christ,
well,
man.
I'm just going to move on to the next one.
Okay. The Knucklevy versus a Bosnian, a Serbian, and a Russian. Who fares the best and why? Vuk.
Oh, shit, man.
Vuk, be racist on record right now.
I am both Bosnian and Serbian.
We're going to find out which side you like better.
I'd say the Russians, because if the Russians were ever to fight against either Bosnians or Serbians, they'd just pave the asphalt with us.
I wouldn't want to go fucking with him.
I wouldn't either. Okay, we got the Knucklevy versus last one, the Mapinguari.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Two one-eyed monsters.
The fame.
That's right.
The wizard of the Amazon. Surrounded by flies.
Yep.
Okay, are they battling in the Amazon?
No, they are battling Las Vegas in the octagon, the UFC octagon.
Okay, so no fresh water.
No.
And no rainforest.
Yeah,
no rain.
4 ounce gloves and shorts.
I'd say the Mapinguari because it is known to smell atrociously, and this thing is, you know, allergic to smells.
Oh. Good point. I was going to say that the swarm of flies was going to be too distracting for something without skin to then also be covered in flies.
Oh,
just sounds awful.
That would
so,
be terrible.
Yeah, once again, we're both going Mapinguari. Mapinguari just has more tricks.
Thank you guys very much. That was an excellent fight night.
Thank you. Well, looks like we're closing in for our third round of facts. Ethan, do you have any more? Callum presents.
You've heard. Oh, sorry.
Scotland facts.
You've heard of Nessie. Now meet Morag, the monster of Loch Morar. This large and elusive female is said to have human female, or what did I say?
Woman female?
Woman female.
Female lady?
Female lady is said to have attacked two fishermen in August 1969. They saw a creature described as around 30 feet long with rough brown skin, three large humps, and a snake-like head. Loch Morar is even deeper than Loch Ness, maybe more able to keep a giant cryptid a secret.
So you just threw away an entire episode on a fact?
We were never going to do that.
Oh, but in Cornwall down south is Morgar, also a sea serpent, but a Cornish one.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah,
nothing but sea serpents.
I think these guys are just borrowing names from each other.
They are. The longest echo inside a man-made structure was recorded in Inchindown Tunnels, a World War II fuel storage facility near Invergordon in Ross-shire. Researchers from Salford University fired a gun down the tunnels, recording a record-breaking 112-second echo.
Okay, that's cool.
There are as many people with Scots heritage living in the U.S. as in Scotland.
Hmm.
And the small Scots town of Bonnybridge has become the UFO capital of the world.
Interesting. You're a UFO guy, Vuk. You heard of Bonnybridge?
I have not, but I do know Scotland has a shit ton of UFOs. There even are whole books about UFO cases in Scotland.
Interesting.
I wasn't making that up. I wonder why that is.
You're probably the guy to ask why that would be, or at least, and I'm sure the answer is quite complicated. Ethan, I could see you over there quaking in your boots.
I'm freaking out, Chibs.
I mean, naturally, because this is a horribly evil monster. Horrible to look at, horrible to contemplate.
It's really scary. It's got no skin.
No, none.
I gotta ask, because otherwise I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. I have terrible nightmares, you know. I gotta look you in the eyes. You gotta tell me the truth. Chibs, is this thing real?
Is real?
Shake it, Bavakasha.
Hey! I don't feel like it's real.
Huh.
It is part of the Orkneyan mythology. I do not know if there are any contemporary practitioners of that faith or religious mythos or whatever you might call it. But I don't think that there's an evil horse that has no skin coming out of the ocean because it hates the stench of burning seaweed.
Okay, but hear me out. We are talking about Scotland and evil horses. Have you guys heard of the Kelpies?
Yes.
I've heard the name.
So Kelpies are fairy horses that lure people to ride them or touch them, and then the people merge with the Kelpies, who slowly go underwater and drown the person. A lot of parallels with this thing.
Yes.
Very.
And I saw the name coming up as a point of influence or origin or synchronicity.
And there
they were
folklore.
Fairy horses, but
yeah, there is folklore of Kelpies appearing as handsome men who romance women, and sometimes they even fall in love with a woman and choose not to be Kelpies anymore.
Oh, you can fix a Kelpie.
I think when
the
they
love of a good woman
when
with
they
love.
Appear as a human, they have backwards facing feet.
Wow.
Wait, what else has that, Chibs?
The Mapinguari.
Mapinguari.
Oh, wait, something else too, though.
Rakshasa has backwards hands.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's a common feature you'll find among shapeshifters, for sure.
Because they just get that last detail wrong.
Yeah, so, yeah, my gut instinct, as far as first-person accounts, the only one that we have is this one from Thomas that was uncovered by that one British folklorist over 100 years ago. So we don't have a lot of solid evidence supporting the existence.
I want this one to be real.
But there certainly could be a purely evil ghost, demon, sea horse, sexual predator with a giant lolling man head growing out of its back. It could be real.
No skin.
And obviously completely devoid of skin.
Right.
It's exposed muscle tissue, dripping black blood from its every yellowed vein as its flaming eye, filled with hate, destroys everything in the landscape. If you want to live in a world where that's real...
I do.
Okay, God bless.
Don't you think if Pinhead had somewhere to go, that's what he would ride?
Yeah, I want to live in a world where Pinhead is real, and I have to worry about that.
What is that red light, Chips?
It looks like it's the red light from Uncle Monster.
Hey!
Hey, Uncle Monster, what's happening, buddy?
Ah, not too much. Just enjoying this wonderful guest episode.
Say hi to Vuk.
What a treat.
Hello, Uncle Monster.
Hello, Vuk.
You, oddly enough, look just like Shibble.
You know, no one's ever said that to me.
I don't see it.
Have you guys ever seen a movie?
We have seen movies. Do you have a suggestion for one for us to watch?
I saw the Mr. Hands movie.
Yeah, you could watch, but I would watch maybe instead of a movie about a horse killing a man with his dick, you could watch instead Trainspotting.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, because that's much less disturbing.
It's a classic 90s tale of redemption. Is that Uncle Monster 2?
Hi, Shibble and Vuk. How are you guys?
Hello, Uncle Monster 2.
How are you, handsome?
I'm good.
I'm well.
Do you have any movie recommendations for us?
I have a movie for you. If you like scary movies, scary like the Knuckle V without its skin and its big penis, watch the documentary Stolen Youth. This crazy guy sends his daughter to Sarah Lawrence and turns her dorm into a sex cult. It's good watching.
Sounds great. I love to watch people be sexually traumatized.
No, not they don't show that. It's about a cult. It's very interesting documentary.
And thank you so much for tuning in. And thank you, Vuk, for guesting this week. Do you want to tell our listeners about anything, where they can find more stuff from you, what you've got going on?
Okay, so I host a podcast named Tracing Owls, which is, you know, cryptozoology, monsters, paranormal, and general weird stuff. And since I've been talking about, I don't know, Mr. Hands a lot, and we've been talking about, you know, murderous angry horses, I have a whole 2-hour episode titled Meat Eating Murder Horses, which is all about meat-eating murder horses. Horses that killed people and ate their face.
Fantastic. I love it.
What a plug.
And while we're plugging stuff, you should be checking us out on our social medias. You can find us on UncleMonster6 on Instagram, UncleMonsterPod on Twitter, and UncleMonster6 on Patreon, where you can find tons of fun bonus episodes. And you get early access to our mainstream episodes. It's a lot of fun.
Movie reviews? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, right now we're almost done with the entire Leprechaun franchise. If you, listener at home, want to spend almost as much time listening to people talk about Leprechaun as you would spend watching every single Leprechaun film, to know all there is to know about Leprechaun without having to actually watch Leprechaun, this is your opportunity. Check out our Patreon.
Trust me, you should take it because it's better than watching it.
Yes.
Well, I just want to say, you guys, I love you for joining in. I love you, Vuk, for joining us. I hope next time. Your comments, your ratings, they mean everything to us, and we look forward to seeing you next week. But in the meantime, just remember one thing for me. Don't
get spooked.
Don't get Vuked.